This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and let us be glad in it. Good morning and welcome to the sanctuary service at Highland Park United Methodist Church on this Mother's Day Sunday. Though we are unable to gather together at this time physically, we are so glad that we are able to gather together virtually and in spirit as the body of Christ to rejoice in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ together. And I invite you now to join in our opening hymn, number 731, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. I invite you to join us as we profess our faith together by reciting the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Well, indeed, a very good morning to all of you and a very happy Mother's Day to all of our moms. This is indeed the Sunday where we recognize, we salute, and we give honor to all the moms in our congregation. And we're so blessed that you've chosen this morning to worship with us in this way. It's my experience that on Mother's Day, many times what moms want is to go to church with their children. And we know you still can't do that, so we're blessed that we're able to bring the church to you. But what we really know is that you are the church. The church is not a building. The church is not where you go. The church is what you do when you get there. And it has been such a joy to watch you all be the church at this time. We are working like mad to create a plan where we can get everybody back in this sanctuary as soon as it is safe. So stay patient, and we're going to work hard on that plan, and hopefully sooner than later we'll all be back in here worshiping together. We have one goal. We say it every week, whether it's a holiday like Mother's Day or any other Sunday, and it's simply this. We would love in our worship this morning to draw each and every one of you a little bit closer to Christ than you were when you sat down to join us. We have no idea where you are on your spiritual journey, what you have believed in the past, what you don't believe, what your understanding is or is not of the scriptures or prayer or of God or even of the local church. We're just blessed that this morning you clicked on and elected to worship with us. Maybe it'll be in the wonderful music that we'll share this morning. Maybe it'll be in the songs that we lift up or the scriptures that we read or the prayers that we say. We never know, but what we hope happens is some of that will stir around in your heart and you'll become a little closer to Christ than you were when you woke up. And we try throughout this pandemic to make sure we maintain as many of our programs as we possibly can and to transition those programs into a digital or a virtual platform. So I want to tell you about one that's coming up, VBS. This is one of the hallmarks of the calendar year. It is one of the best things that we do. This is the week I look forward to every single year. But this year it will be a little bit different. From June 1st to June 5th, VBS will be online. We would love to have it here, but nothing speaks less about social distancing than getting 1,000 children and all of their volunteers and parents together in a closed loop environment. And at this point, we just don't think we could do that safely. So we've got an amazing team that has been so creative, and it will have all the staple elements of a wonderful VBS program. It's called Focus, and what we'll be working on this year is learning to trust the things that we can't see by focusing on the things that we can. A lot of fun, a lot of crafts, a lot of music, a lot of games, everything you'd expect in the VBS. Here's what I need you to do, though. Go online, hpumc.org/VBS, and get your children registered. From ages 3 all the way through the 5th grade, it is going to be a wonderful program. Now, having said all that, let us do what we have gathered all around this country this morning to do, and that is to worship our God in the name of Christ. At this time, I would normally ask our ushers to come forward, but the way we do that now is there's a digital way for you to support the mission and the ministries of this church if you are so able. You can do that by texting the number on your screen, or you can always click online, hpumc.org, to give in that way. And if we can be praying for you in any way, you can always reach one of our clergy at info@hpumc.org. Please let us know how we can help you and your family at this time. Amen. Well, I have a question for you. Who is the most heroic person in your life? I want you to think about that wherever you are. Take a minute. Maybe you shut your eyes. Maybe you don't shut your eyes. Maybe you want to talk about it with those who are worshiping with you. Who is the most heroic person in your life? And what did they have to do for you to claim that title? What was it that made them heroic? For me, it's real simple. Most heroic person in my life is my mother. And I know you're going to push back and say, that is such a cliche. You had to go there on Mother's Day. There's no way your mother is the most heroic person in your life. Without a doubt, my mother is the most heroic person in my life. And you're probably thinking, you're saying that, Paul, because your mom is watching online. Let me tell you, my mama is not watching online. My mama won't go online. I have tried for years to get my mom to go online. She refuses to engage in the world of technology. She has no email. She will not get on the internets, as she likes to call it. I have tried every tutorial imaginable. She will not do it. So she doesn't even know I'm saying this. We called her last night from my house, and my kid said, why don't we FaceTime Susu? So we tried to, only to discover that, and looking at my screen, I noticed that it was totally black, at which point my daughter said, tell her to take the phone away from her ear. She could not grasp the concept of FaceTime. I said, Mom, the kids really want to see you. How about you send us a selfie? She said, well, I can't send you a selfie. There's nobody here to take it. That makes no sense. That's the very definition of a selfie. She just doesn't get it. So despite all of these modern-day inadequacies, my mom remains my hero. And by definition, I don't know what it would take for you to define somebody that's heroic. Do they have to stop a speeding train? Do they have to stop you from drowning? Do they have to do something that might end up in a Hollywood movie that would seem so heroic? See, I don't think that has anything to do with heroism. My mom is not my hero because she is somehow perfect. My mom is not my hero because she's done something in my life that would end up in a Hollywood film. My mom is not my hero because we have this wonderful relationship without any turbulence. None of those would be true. My mom is my hero because she's sacrificial. Sacrifice is the main ingredient of being a hero. And when I was about 8 years old, my father packed up his bags and he left our family. And I tell you that now with great confidence because we had a wonderful end-of-life relationship. We were able to reconcile all of the past. But when I was 8, my dad packed up his bags and he left. He moved off to Colorado. He wanted to pursue some kind of a career as a metal sculptor. So he walked away from a successful ministry and he walked away from his wife and his children. And what was left behind was a single mom with 3 kids and no college degree, no job, and no money. But my mom was sacrificial. Our local church, the one from which my father had walked away from, called and extended an olive branch and offered to pay for my mom to go back to school. She immediately enrolled in Centenary College in Louisiana. She began to acquire her teacher certificate. And with a temporary certificate, she went to school to teach reading. But she had to leave before I got up. I was still in kindergarten, and she had to leave before I even woke up every day to get to school on time. So when I would wake up at my house, there were no adults. I had an older brother. I had an older sister. They were kind enough to get me dressed to take care of me. But every day when I walked out of the door of my house with no adults, on the breakfast table was a homemade breakfast. Every day of my childhood, without exception, there were 2 fried eggs. There was some kind of meat, some ham, some bacon, some sausage, and usually a side of either grits or oatmeal. Every single day. Now, I gotta confess, at the time, I didn't think my mom was heroic. I thought all she did was make a really awful breakfast. It was cold. I rarely ate it, usually scraped it into the trash or gave it to the dog, and then would fix myself a bowl of cereal. We told her later in life, Mom, that was a nice thing to do, but the breakfasts weren't really all that good. See, as a kid, I had no idea how sacrificial my mom was being. I had no idea of the trade-off that she had to make that breakfast. I didn't realize how heroic she was because I didn't equate heroism with sacrifice. You see, what I learned as an adult is that my mom did what she had to do so that I could do what I wanted to do. And as I was planning for this Mother's Day sermon, I thought of all the times over the years that my mother didn't just do that for me, but for my brother and my sister. She did what she had to do so that we could do what we want to do, so that we could play soccer, so that we could have slumber parties, so that we could join clubs and go to school. She did what she had to do so we could do what we want to do. She was sacrificial. And now that I'm a parent, I understand that because I recognize to get up and make that breakfast before she even left for work cut into her morning time. And as a parent now, oh, how much I love my morning time. I just want to get something to drink, maybe some breakfast food and a newspaper. I don't want to do homework. I don't want to prepare meals for my children. That's my morning time. And by the way, it's the same at night. See, my mother read to me every single night before I went to bed. Usually it was some book like Where the Wild Things Are. You remember that book? She'd read to me about monsters for about 10 minutes, and then you know what? She'd have to use the next 10 minutes to explain to me that monsters weren't real, because that's what mamas do. And now when I go to bed at night and my son walks in and says, "Can you help me with a school project?" I think, "Oh, no! This is my night time. I'm watching the news. I'm reading." I just learned as an adult how unbelievably sacrificial my mother was. My wife, Ashley, is a mom. She's picked up the mantle where my mom, I think, left off with our children. I think about the sacrifices that Ashley makes as a mom. And maybe you're in the same boat. She drives a lot. My youngest son has yet to acquire his license, so she's still driving him. He goes to school about 9 miles from our house, so every day she has to take and then come back and then go out again a second time to pick him up and to come back. You do the math, begins to multiply, and heaven forbid he have a dentist appointment or a doctor's appointment or all the many days where he forgets a school assignment and he has to text back home and say, "Mom, I forgot something." So she has to drive out a third or a fourth time. You do the math. I added it up. By the time that he gets his license, Ashley will have spent almost 2 solid years in a car, almost 800 hours per year. That's about 32 days a year, almost 10% of her time she gives to driving her children around. That's what we call a sacrifice. You see, moms are never off the clock. They're never off the clock. Sacrifice is the main ingredient of a hero. So go back to my original question. What is the most heroic thing anyone has ever done for you? What is it? And my hunch is it's not someone that stopped a train that saved you from drowning. Some of you will certainly have those stories, but not most of you. For most of you, the person in your life that you would say is the most heroic is the one who over time accumulated the most amount of sacrifice. They did the little things, the mundane, but they sacrificed some part of them for you. And those are the people you reflect on and you think, yeah, that's the person I think of when I think of a hero. In today's world, who do you think right now of as a hero? Wouldn't sacrifice be their main ingredient? I think about all the nurses, all the doctors, all the healthcare providers in the midst of this wretched and awful pandemic. We lift them up as heroes. Why? Because they're sacrificial. I think about the truck drivers who deliver things all over this country. I think about the grocers. I think about those who stock the grocery shelves at night while we're fast asleep or at home watching Netflix. Why are they labeled as heroes? It's not because they have super strength. It's not because they have a golden lasso. It's not because they have some magic supernatural skill that no one else has. That's not what makes up a hero. What makes a hero is their capacity to sacrifice. You see, a hero always sacrifices. A hero always has to lay something down. A hero always has to give something up. A hero always has to say no to something. You have them in your life, right? It's that person in your life that helps you even when it's inconvenient. It's that person in your life that gives you a measure of time even when they have no margin in their own calendar. It's that person that's invested in you even when you were a gigantic risk. It is that person who put their career on hold in order to advance yours. It's that person who never gave up on you. It is that person who risked their financial future in order to protect and ensure your education. Whoever it was someone who was sacrificial. It wasn't that they had super strength. They decided to be sacrificial. Isn't it amazing and powerful how bright your light shines when you and I decide to be sacrificial? It is amazing how bright we become in the world, how bright our presence is, how much enthusiasm we gift to the people around us when we decide to be sacrificial. My mom did for me what she had to do so I could do what I want to do, but let me give you another way to define sacrifice. Sacrifice is simply this: you give up something you love for something you love even more. That's what a sacrifice is. And if you've ever had anybody do that for you, you know what it feels like. It is emotional. It is powerful. It is profound. It is something that you will remember when somebody has given up something they love for something that they love more. And oh yeah, when you look at the pages of Scripture, Jesus agrees. I love what the Scripture tells us in John 15:3. Jesus said this: greater love has no one than this. There is no greater version of love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. Jesus was talking about sacrifice. He was reminding that the greatest expression of love is to be sacrificial. And that's why it's so important that we recognize those people in our lives who are heroic, not because of their super giftedness, but because of their sacrificiality. Because they've just decided to give up something they love for something that they love more. And when it comes to our spiritual life, if you really think about it, worship, that's what we're doing now. Worship has always involved sacrifice. In the Old Testament, highly sacrificial. You had to bring a goat or a lamb. You had to slaughter the goat and display the slaughtered goat on the altar. Why did they do that? They gave the best of what they had to the one they loved the most. Sacrifice. That's how they believe they access God. You get to the New Testament, it's no different. God gave the best of what he had to the one that he loved the most. Isn't that the message of Jesus? John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he what? He gave his only begotten son. He gave up something he loved for something that he loved more. And that's you. And that's me. And that's all of us. God was sacrificial. And then there is Jesus himself. And I want to park here for a few minutes with the following passage because this is so meaningful to me. There is the way we did it in the Old Testament. We gave that which we valued the most to the one we loved the most. And then God gives his only begotten son that which he loves the most for the whole world. And then there is Jesus himself. And there's this wonderful moment in Scripture when Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples. And the more I read it and the more I study, what I think he is talking about is sacrifice. Here it is, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There are four Gospels of Jesus. In the first one, written by St. Matthew, this is what we find in the 16th chapter. Jesus having a conversation about sacrifice. Now, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? That's an important question. See, they were anticipating the Son of Man. They were anticipating their hero. He says, okay, who do you say the Son of Man is? They replied, well, some people say John the Baptist. Others people say Elijah. Still others, Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. He said, no, not everybody else. What do you say? Who do you say the Son of Man is? And Simon Peter jumped in and answered, You, Lord, are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. What Peter is saying is you are our hero. You're the one we've been waiting on. You're the one that can do something heroic. You're the one that can lift us out of our oppression. And Jesus affirms his understanding, right? Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock," this gets so exciting, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." And this is what's going on. Jesus says, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter says, "Well, you are our hero." And Jesus says, "Yeah, ding, 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 ding. Yes, I am your hero. And I'm such a hero. In fact, on you and on your understanding of my heroism, we're going to build the church. And it's going to be so powerful that even the gates of hell, they will not be able to do anything to knock my church down." And I'm telling you, Peter and all the disciples said, "Yippee, this is unbelievable. This is our hero. Let's get behind this guy. He's so strong, so supernaturally gifted that not even the gates of hell can touch us. This guy's got to be our hero." But look at what Peter does. He gets frustrated because of what Jesus says. Verse 21, from that time on, Jesus has just affirmed that he is in fact their hero. But from that moment on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders. He must suffer. The chief priests, the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Jesus says, "Okay, you've just called me your hero. I have verified that I am in fact your hero. Now let me tell you what heroes do. They sacrifice. That's what heroes do. I've got to go into Jerusalem, and I'm going to be tortured and beaten and scourged and cursed and ridiculed and betrayed, and I'm going to end up nailed to a cross." Now watch what Peter does. Peter takes him aside, and he began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." Why would Peter talk like that? Because Peter's like you and Peter's like me. He resisted the understanding of what makes a hero. Jesus is affirming, "Yes, I am in fact your hero, but let me tell you how heroes act. They're heroes because they are sacrificial." At which point Peter says, "That can't possibly be. That can't happen to you, our hero, or any other hero for that matter." Peter understands that sometimes being sacrificial makes absolutely no sense. And wouldn't that be true for you? It is certainly true for me. Sometimes when I'm called to be sacrificial, it absolutely makes no sense at all. I don't want to do it. I want an easier way out. Think about it. What's the worst thing that we can tell ourselves? No. How hard it is to tell ourselves no. You see, when we sacrifice something, we end up saving that something, and we want to save our health, but we have a hard time saying no, don't we? We want to save our health, but we have a hard time saying no. You know what? I've got to sacrifice. I've got to give up. The pounds are adding up every single day, but I don't want to sacrifice sugar. I don't want to sacrifice ice cream. I know I need to exercise, but I don't want to sacrifice my free time. I don't want to say no. Sometimes we need to save and jump in and save our finances, right? But we don't want to make the sacrifices to establish a saving. Sometimes we have a relationship that's on the hook and it needs to be saved. It's broken and we know what needs to be done to make it work, but we don't want to sacrifice. We don't want to do what has to be done. We don't want to give up what we have to give. We don't want to surrender something we love for something we love more. Just give me the shortcut. Yes, I want my health to be better, but I don't want to change my habits. I don't want to make those sacrifices. Just give me a pill. Just give me the easy way out. Yes, I want a great marriage, but there's got to be an easy way out. I don't want to sacrifice my time and my money. I don't want to do counseling. I don't want to do all of those things. Yes, I want a better relationship with my kids, but I don't want to sacrifice having to go to work and stay at work and make all that money. You see how this works? We don't want to tell ourselves no. We resist that the way to victory is through sacrifice. That's what Jesus was trying to teach his disciples. In verse 23, listen what he says. When Peter challenges and says, you know, this cannot be about you sacrificing, not if you're going to be our hero. Jesus turns to Peter. He says, get behind me, Satan. That's pretty strong. Peter, you're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. And then Jesus said to his disciples, here's how it works. And this is where a hero is defined. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. You have to sacrifice. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. In other words, Jesus is saying, those of you willing to give up something you love for something you love more, you'll never find the path that you're looking for. We're always looking for the easy way out. Even Jesus, which this makes Jesus' teaching all the more effective and all the more the stronger, even Jesus, as fully human, encountered this temptation. When he's working his way to the cross, in fact, when he's on the cross, he says, God, there's got to be an easier way. I don't want to sacrifice. I don't want to do this. But it's interesting to me that you know what Jesus does. He goes on through with it. He allows himself to be crucified. Why does he do this? And I'm telling you, don't miss this. The reason I think he goes on with it, even though he's tempted to resist the power of sacrifice, is that Jesus knows that on the other side of sacrifice, that's where you find salvation. There is no way around it. It is through sacrifice that you find salvation. It is through sacrifice that we find victory. It is through sacrifice that we find glory. We never find any of those things on this side of sacrifice. It's always on the other side. So Jesus, to model that which he taught, allows himself to be crucified. He knows that which needs saving. It's all of humanity in his case. That's just a little bit of pressure. He knows that that which is worth saving, that he's going to have to give up something he loves. His comfort, a pain-free life, his opinion. He's going to have to give up all of those things, give up something he loves for something he loves even more. But on the other side of that, Jesus knew what was just on the other side of sacrifice was resurrection. Resurrection was sitting on the other side awaiting him. He knew that it was worth going through the sacrifice. Why? Because sacrifice always brings life. Sacrifice is what brings hope. Sacrifice is what renews our spirit. You know this to be true in your life. If you want to save your marriage, you've got to sacrifice. You want to save your finances, you've got to sacrifice. You want to save your kids' relationship, you have got to sacrifice. You want to save your health, you and I have got to sacrifice. There is no easy way. Jesus says, take up my cross and follow me. And what he is reminding of us is this extraordinary truth that always on the other side of sacrifice is something really, really wonderful. Something holy. Something miraculous. A way of living that we never even thought was possible. But the problem is sometimes we don't always recognize it, do we? Even those who discovered the open tomb after Easter morning didn't recognize life. They thought Jesus was, in fact, the gardener. See, they didn't recognize what it looks like on the other side of sacrifice. They didn't recognize glory. They didn't recognize victory. They didn't recognize resurrection. And I tell you that to come back to the moms. Because moms, there's going to be days where your children do not recognize the other side of your sacrifice, at least not yet. And moms, there are going to be days where you think that all you're doing is mundane and boring and routine and monotonous, and it's totally inconsequential and totally insignificant. Why in the world would you sacrifice? Don't take the bait. Just because it's not recognizable doesn't mean that it's not there. Don't quit. There will come a time, just like Mary and the disciples, when they recognize once and for all what resurrection looks like, what salvation looks like, what glory and victory look like. And you know what? In that moment, Jesus became such a hero to them. They became stronger than they ever could have been before. And they began to spend their whole lives telling the world about their hero. Sacrifice is the main ingredient of heroism. To give up something you love for something that you love more. And on this Mother's Day, moms, you need to know there is nobody that does that better than you. Let's pray. Lord, for all of us in this world that are trying to get somewhere that we think you've called us to get to, please remind us that it has to go through sacrifice. There is no easy way out. But on the other side of sacrifice is life and power and blessing and miracle and love and grace and victory and joy, all those things that you promise us. So help us, Lord, to hold fast to that truth, to heed to what the Apostle Paul said when he called us to be a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Help us to embrace what Jesus so courageously taught us. Lord, we give you thanks for all those in our lives, moms and others alike, who have chosen to be sacrificial in our life. Help us to recognize them to be the heroes that they are. Lord, we give you thanks for being the sacrificial God that you are, for giving us grace and mercy through the gift of your own sacrifice for us. For it is in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.